Our opening hymn this morning asks, "Where is our holy church?" This is a question for the ages, isn't it? The hymn tune originated in the 16th century, but the words were penned by the lyricist Edwin Henry Wilson, who was a Unitarian minister and the first editor of the New Humanist magazine in the first half of the last century. This hymn poses questions about our church's values, sacred documents, and inspirations of faith. It encourages us to strive for the best in our religious practices without providing easy answers. Best of all, it reminds us that the church is in us. It's in our relationships, it's how we live, it's what we do. As you likely know, the President of the United States delivers an annual State of the Union address, and similarly, religious organizations follow suit. In our Unitarian Universalist setting, leaders like ministers or board presidents typically deliver these addresses, covering key aspects of our church's life: spiritual and religious growth, community engagement, financial health, membership and attendance, achievements and challenges, future plans, and gratitude. This practice fosters transparency, reflection, and communication within a congregation, serving as a snapshot of the community and its potential. Over the years, much has changed here, from the church building to theology, yet people have consistently gathered to uphold their vision of building beloved community. Reflecting on a worship service held in the second church building back in the 1770s, one parishioner wrote, "I was 5 years old when first taken to meeting by my mother. The seats were hung on hinges, and when the people stood during the prayers and singing, the seats were lifted to allow more room for standing. After the prayer and singing were over, the hourglass was turned and the sermon began. Rest assured, we have no plans for an hour-long sermon this morning." We do want to start by emphasizing that we believe the state of the parish is positive and continues to strengthen each week. Your faces smile at one another over the pews each Sunday and on Zoom. Your eagerness to be the church the world needs is apparent now more than ever. You work hard, you care immensely, and you share joy with your whole hearts. On Friday, I attended a brunch I won at the auction last year, and let me tell you that, like so much around here, it was prepared with love, and love tastes great. And at the same time, over the past 3+ years, this congregation has experienced significant changes, even upheavals. Beyond the challenges posed by the ongoing pandemic, you've experienced numerous staff transitions. It's entirely understandable that these events may have left you unsettled, and there are indications that this has impacted your overall comfort with and trust of your professional and elected leadership. Building trust takes time and intentionality, and for my part, I will always do my best to be worthy of your trust. Speaking more generally now about the state of this church, it's important to recognize that First Parish's struggles aren't unique. They are mirrored in places of worship across the nation. Our country is currently immersed in an era of disillusionment and anxiety, marked by a general lack of trust in organizations and leadership. After navigating this period of transition and enduring the challenges brought by COVID, it's only natural that you feel the need to regroup and rebuild. 2 weekends ago, the parish board met to begin their work together for the year ahead. At the outset, the group decided to take stock of the most significant organizational developments that have occurred within the last year. The list filled 3 easel sheets, and we know you too have successes that could have been listed. But here is a distilled list of some significant accomplishments. A new mission statement, the first in nearly 2 decades. A relational covenant to guide our interactions and connections within the congregation. Ongoing work on vision and vision-related goals. Formation of a ministerial search committee commissioned by the entire congregation to guide the church forward over the year ahead toward hopefully calling a new settled minister in the spring. The appointment of a new parish minister, Megan Lines, who is here half-time for this transitional year. The appointment of K.J. Robertson Jr. as our facilities coordinator, who is enabling us to more thoroughly care for our building and grounds, and who makes it possible to increase our rental capacity. About 40% of the congregation actively participated in transition work during the past church year, 2022 to 2023. And it's been my honor as your transitional ministry associate to help guide and spearhead this transition, but truly the work was yours to claim and lead, and you have done just that.
The journey toward building a strong religious education program has seen its challenges through the years. But it's clear the commitment to faith formation remains a high priority here. You've stated it in all the ways, in every survey that has ever been set before you, that you want RE to thrive. The pandemic pulled the rug out from under us all, but it affected our young people perhaps the most. School in person was suddenly gone. Friendships were decimated. Adults were scared. Activities of all sorts screeched to a halt. Having Zoom classes for church kids just wasn't going to fly. Yet, you budgeted for a half-time DRE, showing in word and financial support your commitment to having a quality youth program. Starting from scratch this past spring, you worked hard to hire a new director of religious education. Unfortunately, it became clear after 3 months that the hiring fit was not right for our community. This decision was not made lightly, and all involved leaders were consulted. This has been a valuable learning experience and is actually a step in the right direction because it prompts us to reassess what type of leader we need for the role and to consider deeply the evolving needs of our children and our families. In truth, almost all churches seeking DREs are struggling to find someone at this time. But we are committed to working closely with the RE committee and other leaders to identify the individual who aligns with our present and future goals. Of course, supporting our youth program takes all hands on deck, and we encourage each of you to consider ways you might be involved. Maybe you've met someone at the playground who has a little kid, and you could tell them about us. Every time your church is in your heart and you share it, it's a beautiful thing to do. A big thank you to the unwavering dedication of RE Commissioner Pam Penton and to the folks who have stepped up for the next month or so to spend time with our young people as we work on hiring a new DRE and/or childcare providers. We've been hearing about the congregation's desire for small groups and faith formation adult education experiences and we want to empower more of these initiatives. We are committed to facilitating these opportunities for spiritual growth and connection. This congregation already hosts a multitude of thriving groups, including, but not limited to, healthy committees, committees that are growing, and a thriving book group, a meditation group, Fifth Friday Shabbat dinners, and of course, the choir, which we are about to hear for the first time this morning as a whole choir. Just this Friday, someone mentioned to me that they might like to start a men's group. What other ideas are brewing? Let's stir the pot. I also know I didn't list that group that's your, I missed some, and they all count, they all are important. We have seen significant successes in enhancing the church's physical space. Your leaders have invested in the repair and maintenance of this gorgeous organ. Wait, it's played there. Oh, it's here, look at me. Not only enriching our music, but also supporting a local company skilled in organ repairs. Thank you, Emma, for making sure that that came to be. The Welcoming Spaces Task Force has made remarkable progress, revitalizing key areas on the main and lower levels of the church. The church archives have also received dedicated attention, thanks to Amy Eastwood's commitment to preserving our history and efficiently managing our storage. I found a strange box of keys somewhere in the minister's office and brought it to Amy's attention, and she was really thrilled because now we can suddenly open it, Cabinet 17. Who knew? With the assistance of a Jones grant, significant IT and audio improvements have been made in Whitcomb Hall and the chapel, helping to connect the congregation with the global community, allowing us to engage with beloveds near and far. And of course, every week we Zoom in our friends on big screens each week. And we also ask, what else could be done with these, the screen and its projected images up here? If we've done one thing, what else can we do? Additionally, we have enhanced security by rekeying the building and implementing an electronic locking system for the front door, providing an extra layer of safety.
This church is actively involved in all sorts of programs that strengthen the connection between our faith and the community. A study group on the eighth principle led by the adult RE team and focused on the work of Dr. Paula Cole Jones has persisted for a second year, fostering an ongoing commitment to anti-racism within this congregation and beyond. Furthermore, the congregation proudly supports the Jones Partnership Fund and the Waltham Daycare Center, recognizing their integral role in our community and the valuable connections they create between the church and these organizations. There's a vital connection between the narratives of the Waltham Clothing Exchange and Chaplains on the Way, along with other church programs. These services extend beyond the church walls and deeply into the Waltham community. An outstanding example of this outreach involved Chaplains on the Way and occurred during an exceptionally cold period last winter when an urgent community need arose for safe and warm shelter for those who are unhoused. In a matter of hours, our church doors were open 24/7, heat on, hot food provided by all of you, TV monitors set up with movies playing, and sleeping bags handed out. This quick response exemplifies the fact that the church is not separate from us, it is us. It's in our relationships, it's in our actions, it's how we live our faith. We believe a congregation's core mission is not only to serve those currently within this community, but also those who may enter as guests, seekers, or those in need. This universal call, echoed across various faith traditions, compels us to embody the principles of compassion and solidarity, urging us to care for the sick, clothe the needy, shelter the homeless, and to stand as partners, advocates, and allies alongside all in our wider human family. As just one example, many of you will remember that this past year, the congregation responded beautifully when one of our own beloveds lost his sister who lived in England. Struggling with this loss and with no family at his side in this country, he asked if there could be a memorial service, and the congregation quickly mobilized to support that. And then, responding again, you contributed thousands of dollars to help him get his sister back to Uganda to be buried there. You know how to advocate, to support one another, to be a blessing to each other. And this, my friends, is pure gold. As we look to the future, we must also consider the underlying behaviors and commitments that support the growth of our congregation. Alongside the new relational covenant and vision work, we observe an increased openness to trying new systems and a willingness to engage in challenging conversations regarding disruptive influences and space usage, all while keeping the church's mission at the forefront. This year's transition workshops prioritize the development of a congregational vision statement, more practice in conflict resolution, supporting the ministerial search process, and improving our avenues of communication with specific projects such as the creation of a church directory and email list that parishioners could use online.
A commitment to religious pluralism and sharing our space has resulted in increased activity, exemplified by the vibrant gatherings of the B'nai Or Jewish community for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur services. First Parish is back in full swing 7 days a week, buzzing with activity. We gather for common worship weekly, and in addition, it's a choose-your-own-adventure-style type experience with opportunities of all stripes available to you. And we heartily invite you to opt in, engage in activities that nourish your hearts, souls, and spirits, and give back to the community. Sing loudly. Heck, join the choir. Be ridiculous in a skit. Come to a potluck. Pledge if you can. Volunteer with our youth. Share your vision of a world made right. Where is our holy church, we ask? It is right here. This is it. We're being church right now. Thank you for saying yes. In closing, we paraphrase and share the words of Charles Dumond, current co-moderator of the UUA. We are blessed by our ancestors' dreams of a religious home in Greater Boston, Waltham, and beyond. We are blessed by their dedication in making that dream a reality. We are blessed by those who invest in the potential of new dreams. We are blessed by the planners and builders of this sanctuary. We will be blessed by those who arrive to dream, plan, and build further. We are blessed to be the church for such a time as this, for we are now the keepers of the dream. May it be so today and for many days to come. Go in peace, blessed people.